the woods, the beach, and a little river, examining the Zika virus outbreak in Miami-Dade, Florida, 2016.
Good morning. Thank you for having me speak with you all about our experience with the Zika virus outbreak. I see that many people are very interested in Zika, so I expect that if we have it again this summer, you all will volunteer to come down and help. So I'll go ahead and get started. So Miami-Dade County is very unique in that we have 2.7 million residents, and we also have about 15 million tourists that come and visit our wonderful county each year. Half of these are actually from foreign countries, and half of those individuals traveling from foreign countries were from 12 of the countries having active Zika virus transmission. For that reason, we're known as the gateway to the Americas. Also, of those travelers, we actually had 76% reporting visiting South Beach. So for those of you who have never been to Miami, South Beach is considered like the hot spot for tourism. And actually, because of all of this, we had the Zika virus outbreak, which is what I'll go on to explain. So Zika virus is a flavivirus spread primarily through the bite of an infected Aedes aegypti mosquito. Symptoms of Zika virus include fever, rash, joint pain, conjunctivitis. And in July of 2016, we became the first county in the continental United States to report active transmission of Zika virus. Sporadic transmission occurred throughout our county, but we did identify three ongoing areas of active transmission. So that was defined as an area within 150 meters that had two non-related cases of Zika in the areas of Wynwood, Miami Beach, and Little River. So here's a little diagram of our county. So everything in yellow is Miami-Dade County, but you'll see in the top left corner, you have the area of Wynwood. So Wynwood is a very industrial area where you'll see a lot of like graffiti art, so people tend to go out and walk around and take pictures. It's very popular. It's internationally known. Then you have Miami Beach in the bottom left. So again, we found transmission there in August when we actually were identified of three tourists that had traveled to Miami Beach and returned home and tested positive for Zika. And then later, when we found a cluster on a residential street in northern Miami Beach, we expanded the box and the zone upward. And then later on in the summer, we found a small little cluster in what's called Little River. So that's a very residential area. So for this, the purpose of this analysis, we included only our confirmed Zika cases. So those were individuals that had at least one of the four main symptoms, as well as laboratory criteria of Zika virus infection, which would be like a PCR result in serum or urine, or an ELISA with a confirmatory PRNT result. So all Zika cases between January 1st and December 31st of 2016 were included in this analysis. We were looking at variables like age, sex, race, ethnicity, mosquito trap density, rainfall, population density, travel-associated case density, and type of exposure, so whether somebody was exposed at work or at home. And these were examined by the reported zone of exposure. So there's three areas of active transmission: Wynwood, Little River, and Miami Beach. And what we found was, so there were a total of 233 locally acquired confirmed cases in Miami-Dade County, meaning they acquired Zika in Miami. 29 were associated with Wynwood, 67 were associated with Miami Beach, and 10 were associated with Little River. The majority of those cases that we identified were symptomatic. That was likely due to a testing bias. However, we did extensive URO surveys and offered testing to individuals in areas of active transmission, regardless of their symptom status. So we would have expected to also find asymptomatic cases. The majority of our cases were Hispanic and male. So what was interesting is when we looked at the age, the median ages between the three groups, our cases were younger in Wynwood and Miami Beach, which makes sense when we think about the populations that are going and hanging out on South Beach, in comparison to our Little River, which was a residential apartment building. We did find a disproportionate number of cases among our children population. So the 1 to 17, we hardly found any cases, which is very strange in comparison to other outbreaks like in Puerto Rico, as well as our 65 and up, which again, that could be because of the testing bias. Such a large emphasis was placed on testing pregnant women and women of childbearing age, and so that could explain why we found these. So when we examined each location by type of exposure, so whether somebody was being exposed at home or at work, we actually found the majority of cases in Wynwood and Miami Beach were exposed at home and work. So Wynwood was very interesting in that it came about because there was a boating repair company that had the first cluster of cases, and there were also a lot of outdoor hipster-type restaurants where you'd eat outside with food trucks, and those were also found to be associated with clusters. And then on Miami Beach, we had workplaces such as like construction sites. Every time we got a call about a construction site, I think our hearts stopped because we knew that that was going to be a confirmed case, as well as an outdoor souvenir shop. What was interesting was specifically on Miami Beach, 17% of our cases were tourists. So I defined those as individuals that did not live in Miami-Dade County. So people from all over the world were coming to Miami and getting Zika. Here's an epi curve of all of our cases. So you'll see the outbreak originally started in Wynwood, then you started seeing cases in Miami Beach, and then it spread to Little River. But what's, I think, the most concerning thing is our little black boxes, right? So those were our unknowns, our sporadic transmission that happened throughout the county. So 54% of our cases were sporadic. We had no idea they were, where they were being exposed, because we didn't have a second case that could say, hey, from an epi perspective, you were likely exposed here. The following shows our average mosquito trap counts for each of the areas. So you have Wynwood in light blue, Miami Beach in the dark blue, and then gray is Little River. The trap counts were significantly higher in Miami Beach. It was a trap count average of about 39 per trap. It's also interesting to point out that Miami Beach was the only area of Miami-Dade County that had the positive mosquito pools. We actually found 8. As I was chatting with our state arboviral expert and Zika queen, Dr. Bingham, she said it's like finding a needle in, in a haystack, and we found a lot of needles on Miami Beach. So Miami is also known for our beautiful weather, right? It's 90 degrees outside, basically year-round. And then we also, we're starting to get into the summer months where we have these very crazy, like, rain showers, it's thunderstorms, and then it's beautiful again. But that also means we have tons of standing water, and we have the perfect breeding grounds for mosquitoes. And so as you can see from the weather of 2016, as our rainfall started to increase, as did our temperatures, we started to see a lot of mosquitoes. And so we actually mapped our travel-associated cases to see, okay, well, if we start seeing travel-associated cases in December, perhaps the areas where we're seeing highest density is going to be where we see local transmission. So you can see there's a few hotspots in like downtown and over down south, which is Homestead, which is more of the rural farming areas. But that's not where transmission happened. So it happened, you know, in South Beach and Wynwood and the Little River up top. And so it looks like in downtown that there is overlap, but when you actually go at a closer level, we weren't finding associations within 150 meters of travel-associated cases and locally acquired cases. And so this outbreak, although it was very stressful 4 months, I don't think any of us actually slept for 4 months, we learned a lot. So we did find that travel-associated case density was not a reliable predictor of local transmission. Our countywide case distribution actually suggests that population density and tourism played a significant role in the outbreak that we saw in Miami. The outbreak provided a unique opportunity to examine the epidemiology of emerging vector-borne diseases, such as those that may come up in the future. I think I actually skipped a slide. Yeah. And then transmission within the county actually varied by each zone, so depending on different behavioral risk factors, so being a tourist on the beach versus being an employee in Wynwood. And that was something very different from previous outbreaks where we had seen with chikungunya several years before, which was primarily household transmission versus this that was primarily occupational exposures, which Dr. Bingham will talk with you all about next. But in addition to the workplaces that we found with which had clusters, they also had significant breeding sites. So it was the combination of having not only infected travelers coming in, having susceptible individuals, as well as having a large number of mosquitoes. It just kind of created the perfect storm. And so ongoing transmission did occur twice as long on Miami Beach, so 88 days compared to Wynwood and Little River, and we do believe that that was because of all the different dynamics of disease transmission for Zika. And that's all. And, oh, I'd like to thank everyone that participated. I know I'm the only one speaking, but this was literally a workforce of 400 that did not stop working for several months. So thank you to all of you.